Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, May 21, 2023, Romans.
All right. Well, I noticed some of you have moved out of the front seats to the back row. When I was at Dallas Seminary, our doctrinal group, we had a term for that. We called them back row Baptists. Seems like in Baptist churches, they all sit in the back row. Nobody sits in the front. And one time, Herman, who pastor in Dallas, and we were both together at Dallas Seminary, we attended a church that our Hebrew professor was the pastor of. And he had one of the students at the seminary was the song leader. And we knew this guy too, and the song leader came out and he said, "All right, I want you all to stand up and turn around and tell the person behind you that you love them." So Herman and I stood up and we turned around. We were in the front row. There was nobody for about four or five rows. So I turned to Herman and I said, "I love you, Herman, you U.S.O.B. So the back row Baptists, and it was a Baptist church. We have a couple of things. First of all, Jerry Cahoon, who sits down here, his birthday was on Friday. You can see he loves to fish. He doesn't catch anything, but he loves to fish. He was fishing on his birthday, doing a few other things. Jerry's the best, but he's teaching the little people back over here. Happy birthday, Jay! See if he can...
Thank you, Papa.
Also, if you'll notice out in the foyer, we have all these flyers for Vacation Bible School. These are designed for you to take as many as you want and give them to people that you would like to let them know that we are having Vacation Bible School. Now, with COVID, we haven't had Vacation Bible School for several years. So this is the first time in a few years we've had it. But I and all of you ought to be praying that God would open the eyes of people in southern Nevada to see that, and in Las Vegas, that we're having Vacation Bible School. So you can take as many of these as you want and hand them out to people that you would like to let them know that there is a Vacation Bible School at Upland Bible Church. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation of verse 18. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, there resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind. Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many, those who believe in Christ, will be caused to be made righteous. Verse 20. Now the law came in as a minor actor to play a minor role in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase and multiply. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace increased in superabundance. Verse 21. So that just as the sin nature has ruled in the sphere of spiritual death. And before we stopped here, we haven't exegeted the rest of verse 21 to make sure and study exactly what the Word of God has to say about this sin nature. And we just studied the first point, which was definition. We had biblical documentation, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin, and it's hamartia in the singular, and many times when you have hamartia, the word for sin, in the singular, it refers to the sin nature as it does here. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin, the sin nature, entered into the world, and spiritual death through the sin nature, again, hamartia in the singular, so spiritual death spread to the entire human race because all sinned when Adam sinned. And then we noted some characteristics of spiritual death. The first is that we all come into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. And that means we have a body and a soul. We're dichotomous, but we have no human spirit. So the status quo of dichotomy in the human race, having only a body and a soul at physical birth, but we have no human spirit. We're in spiritual death. And without a human spirit, you can have no relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Also, spiritual death means we have total depravity, total separation from God, total helplessness to perform any work or sacrifice or any change of life by which we can enter into a relationship with God. The only way we can enter into a personal relationship with the living and true God is to accept God's work on our behalf. That is, to simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we studied the essence of the old sin nature. The essence of the old sin nature is in three parts. There is the area of weakness, and the area of weakness produces personal sins. We saw that in Hebrews 12:1. There is also an area of strength. This area of strength produces human good. This human good, where is it coming from? The sin nature. And it does not honor God in any way at all. It's coming from the sin nature, and the sin nature cannot please God. Anything you produce from your sin nature, whether it's personal sin or human good or evil, nothing that you produce from the sin nature can please God in any way. So we have three parts to it. An area of weakness, that produces personal sins. Everybody's usually locked in on that one. But the one that most believers do not understand is that the sin nature has an area of strength that produces human good. And then the third part of the essence of the sin nature is lust patterns. Lust patterns, and those lust patterns can motivate sin and evil, lasciviousness and asceticism, moral and immoral degeneracy. And then we noted that the sin nature is Adam's trend after the fall in action. Immediately after Adam sinned, two things occurred simultaneously. He had a new trend historically, and he had spiritual death. A trend occurred towards sin, producing personal sin in three categories: mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, and overt sin. But a trend also occurred toward good and evil. What was the tree of the knowledge? What was the name of the tree that he was prohibited from eating? The tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. And the day you eat of that tree, dying spiritual death, you will die physical death. So a trend occurred toward good and evil, producing satanic policy as the ruler of planet Earth. When Adam chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he chose Satan's policy, immediately making Satan the ruler of planet Earth. The fall of man resulted in numerous changes from the garden. Satan now became the ruler of the world. The old sin nature became the ruler of human life. Mankind became spiritually dead. Adam took a perfect soul given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then by his own negative volition, he revolted against divine authority and created the sin nature. While the soul is not occupied by the sin nature, it resides in the cell structure of the body. The soul becomes the battlefield, the battleground, which the sin nature attacks and tries to take over control of the soul. The sin nature in the body is constantly attacking the soul with temptations. When the guardian of your soul, and you all have a guardian, the guardian of your soul is your volition. You all have a volition. You can say yes to the temptation, or you can say no. All you have to do is say no to the temptation, and you continue living the spiritual life by the power of the filling of the Spirit. So when the guardian of your soul, your volition, says yes to the temptations and sins, that's when the old sin nature takes over control of your soul once again. You see, as an unbeliever, all the way from physical birth to salvation, the old sin nature was the ruler of your life, the ruler of your soul. But at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you were instantly indwelt by God the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit. And now you have a new ruler. You're now in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is your authority. And you continue that way until you, from your free will, volition, say yes to a temptation, and then you turn your authority of your soul back over to the sin nature. Well, this is all going to be explained by the Apostle Paul when we get to Romans 7. I'm in Romans 7, you're not, but I'm in Romans 7, and he uses marriage as an illustration between the unbeliever in the first marriage. We all start out with our first marriage. We're married to the old sin nature. The unbeliever is the wife. The old sin nature is the first husband. And the marriage counselor is the Mosaic Law. And we continue under that first marriage until faith in Jesus Christ. At the moment of faith in Christ, well, we are identified with, this is Romans 6, we're identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth through the baptism of the Spirit, and we're identified with Jesus Christ in current positional truth. We're entered into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. That's Romans 6. And then Paul's going to illustrate Romans 6 in Romans chapter 7. And he does so through marriage. So in our first marriage, we, the wife, the unbeliever, has a husband, the old sin nature, marriage counsel, the Mosaic Law. At the moment of salvation, we believers, now the believer is the wife, the Lord Jesus Christ is the new husband, the second husband, and the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. Well, that's all going to be illustrated beautifully in Romans chapter 7. Romans 6 is a whole chapter on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. That's when the divorce takes place from the first husband. It's the divorce, not a death, because he's still alive. He's still inside of you. So it's the divorce. And then current positional truth, entered into union with Christ, the new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, well, that's all coming up. I'm already excited about Romans 7. Romans 6, too. But we have half a verse to go here. So when the guardian of your soul, the volition, says yes to the temptations and sin, then the sin nature takes over control of your soul. That brings us to point two. And in point two, different terms in the New Testament scripture for the sin nature. There are several different terms in the New Testament scriptures for the sin nature. These are synonyms for the sin nature. The first one is the one that we have here and in our verse. That is hamartia in the singular. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia in the singular. Now, when you have hamartia in the plural, generally it is referring to personal sins. However, when you have hamartia in the singular, most of the time it refers to the sin nature. Sometimes it could be referred to Adam's original sin, sometimes to the principle of personal sin, but most of the time in the singular, hamartia refers to the sin nature. We had that in Romans 5:12, which we already went through and saw that. And also Romans 7:14. Turn over to Romans 7:14. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. The law, where did the law come from? It came from God. The law is perfect. The law is honorable. The law is good. The law is spiritual. Nothing wrong with the Mosaic law, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold as a slave to hamartia in the singular, sold as a slave to the sin nature. The sin nature is the ruler of human life. So here we have hamartia in the singular, Romans 7:14. Also, 1 John 1:8. Turn over to 1 John 1, verse 8. First John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, and the word there, sin, is hamartia in the singular. If we claim to be without a sin nature, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. So hamartia in the singular is used for the sin nature most of the time. A second word is the Greek word sarx. S-A-R-K-S, sarx. Now sarx it means flesh, and it's translated flesh in many times in your Bible. And it refers to the sin nature, but it's emphasizing the location of the sin nature, which is in the cell structure of the body. Turn over to Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. And in this passage, Galatians 5:16 and 17, sarx is used three times. I will kind of surprised, but the NIV does have it correctly translated, sin nature. The word is sarx, flesh. But we have it three times in these verses. So I say, walk by the agency of the Spirit. That is, live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sarx, the sin nature. Now, it's translated in my NIV, sin nature. It's the word sarx, flesh. But that's just the first time. For the sarx, the flesh, the sin nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sarx, the flesh, the sin nature. They are at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So, Galatians 5:16, sarx refers to the sin nature. Glad to see the NIV correctly translated, and emphasizing the body as where the sin nature resides. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 2:3. Ephesians 2:3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the lusts of our sarx, the lust patterns of our sin nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And then 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16. First John 2:16, for all that is in the world, that's the cosmos, the cosmic system, the lust of the sark, the lust patterns of the sin nature and the lust of the eyes and the arrogant pattern of life is not from God the Father, but is from the cosmos, the cosmic system. So the second word for the sin nature, sarks, literally flesh. The third synonym for the sin nature is palaios anthropos. That palaios, P-A-L-A-I-O-S, and then anthropos. A-N-T-H-R, long O-P-O-S. Palaios anthropos. Palaios anthropos is literally translated the old man. Emphasizes the origin of the sin nature. And we have the old man, palaios anthropos, used in Ephesians 4:22. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:22, for you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your palaios anthropos, your old sin nature, your old man. Put off your palaios anthropos, your old man, the sin nature, which is being corrupted by its deceitful lusts. The lust patterns of the sin nature. Now, the deceitful lusts of the sin nature, we'll present them to you. I'm sure you understand what most of them are. Although you have no problem understanding sexual lust, maybe you have more trouble understanding that power lust comes from the sin nature, money lust, approbation lust. You just have to have people tell you how great you are, how wonderful you are. Chemical lust. If you want to get out of that, just become a pastor, because nobody ever tells you how great you are, how wonderful you are. See? Chemical lust, that includes both alcohol and drugs. And unfortunately today, chemical lust characterizes the lives not just of unbelievers in our nation, but unfortunately, sadly, many, many believers in our nation are living by their sin nature. They're living under the lust patterns of their sin nature through alcoholic lust and drugs, drug addiction. And then there is emotional lust. So power lust, money lust, sexual lust, approbation lust, chemical lust, and emotional lust. A fourth term used to describe the sin nature, and it's related to our second one. The second one was sarks. The fourth one is sarkinos. S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. Sarkinos. And sarkinos is literally translated fleshly, of the flesh, or belonging to the flesh. And we already know the sarks, the flesh, is used for the sin nature. And so is sarkinos. And this refers to the believer under the control of his sin nature. And therefore, he is living his life out of fellowship with God through personal sin and resultant cosmic system function. This is used in Romans 7:14. We've seen that already. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Now, the there were many, many churches in Corinth. Corinth was one of the largest cities in the ancient world. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that there were many local churches there that Paul was teaching and addressing to. And so he starts out in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, brethren, royal family. These are believers. But these are believers living in a city, and they have set the world record for new categories of reversionism. They were out in reversionism every way you could be in reversionism. So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, Paul says, brethren, royal family, I could not address you as spiritual. You have no spiritual life. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're not living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. So I couldn't address you as spiritual, but as sarkinos, carnal, fleshly, operating by your sin nature, mere immature ones in Christ. They've been believers. A lot of them have been believers for 20, 30 years. And they're still spiritually immature. They've never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I can't address you as spiritual, having a spiritual life, but as sarkinos, carnal, living by your sin nature, you're simply immature ones in Christ. I gave you milk. Basic doctrine. Not solid food. Advanced doctrine. For you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. After all these years, you are still not ready. You are still sarkinos, carnal, fleshly. And then how do you know that they're carnal and fleshly? For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not sarkinos, carnal? Are you not acting like mere unbelievers? Yes, you are. That's what unbelievers do. And when you are living in out of fellowship with God in the Satan's cosmic system, you can't tell you from the unbeliever. And again, that unfortunately and sadly explains most of Christianity today. There's no difference between most Christians and unbelievers. Why? Well, just like here. Paul picked out too, jealousy and quarreling among yourselves. So the Corinthian believers were still not able to learn advanced doctrine because they were under the control of the sin nature. And when you're under the control of the sin nature, that limits what you can learn. In fact, usually you wind up reacting and removing yourself from the teaching of grace and truth because you're operating by your sin nature. Paul mentions as examples of their carnality, jealousy and quarreling among you. In carnality, the Corinthian believers are acting like mere unbelievers. A fifth term for the sin nature. The fifth term is our body of sin. Our body of sin. That's used in Romans 6:6 and emphasizes the sin nature's headquarters, where it resides in the cell structure of the body. Our body of sin. A sixth one is corruptible man. Corruptible man refers to the sin nature in Romans 1:23. Man is corrupted physically, spiritually, morally. Seven, corruptible seed. Corruptible seed in 1 Peter 1:23 refers to the transmission of the sin nature. So all of these terms are describing this sin nature. So, point three, summary number one. One, the sin nature is the source of temptation, but human volition is the source of sin. Temptation is not a sin. You don't rebound temptation. If you did that, that's all you'd be doing. You'd still be, you wouldn't even be at church today. You'd be at home rebounding the temptation. The sin nature is the source of temptation, but human volition is the source of sin. Two, the sin nature can tempt in three areas. Tempt you to sin, to get involved in human good, or evil. The sin nature can tempt in three areas. Sin, human good, and evil. But remember, the sin nature cannot succeed apart from one's consent. You have to say yes to the temptation. Three, the volition guards the gate of the soul from the sin nature's temptations. The volition guards the gate of the soul from the sin nature's temptations. Four, therefore, no one ever sins apart from his own consent or the function of his own volition, his own free will. Therefore, no one ever sins apart from his own consent or the function of his own volition, his own free will. Five, whether sins of cognizance, that is, you knew they were sins, or sins of ignorance, you didn't know it was a sin. The volition of the soul is involved in every sin. Therefore, ignorance is no excuse. You know that. The speed limit is 35. You're driving 75 in a 35 zone. You get pulled over. And the police officer says, you were going 75 and a 30. I didn't know the speed limit was 35. Okay, you're not only going to get a ticket, you're also, you are the stupidest person I've ever known. Ignorance is no excuse. Police officer, oh, well, you didn't know. Well, try again, do better next time. Six, while the sin nature is located in the body, it must penetrate the soul for sin to be produced. While the sin nature is located in the body, it must penetrate the soul for sin to be produced. Seven. This cannot be done without human volition's consent. This cannot be done without human volition's consent. Eight, when the sin nature's temptations become sin through human consent, when the sin nature's temptations become sin through human consent, the sin nature not only controls the soul, but the believer now resides in Satan's cosmic system. The sin nature not only controls the soul, but the believer now resides in Satan's cosmic system, the cosmos. 9. Therefore, the sin nature is Satan's inside agent, recruiting for his cosmic system. Therefore, the sin nature is Satan's inside agent recruiting for his cosmic system. Now, we have in the New Testament scriptures several times we're told to be pure. I would love to just have you all give, what does that mean, pure? Well, it means you're living the spiritual life. You're filled with the Spirit. If you're living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, then you're not sinning. And therefore, you are pure. Therefore, the believer is only pure and free from sin when he's living the spiritual life. When you are empowered by God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control, and sin. No, I just seen if you were, some of you, if you already should have, some of you should just bring a pillow, you know. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. But sin isn't the fruit of the Spirit. So the believer is only pure and free from sin when he is living the spiritual life empowered by God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. His status can only be changed by his own free will decision to say yes to the temptation. So, as I have told my sons many times, and I've told you many times, one of the greatest words in the English vocabulary is no. Learn that word. You can even spell it. N-O, no, no. And then you just keep right on living the spiritual life and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back for part two in a few.